Welcome to the latest Brothers in Farms podcast episode. Tonight, we have another breeder spotlight with Stoneley, talking about his new strain, Monkey Bread. Right, thank you for coming on, Stoneley.
Thank you for having me. It's always been a pleasure to speak with you, and it's always been a pleasure to be part of the BIP stuff. How are you doing today?
I've got to give you some credit, actually, because I listened to your podcast you recently did with N47, and we haven't done any podcasts in such a long time, and that kind of gave us the motivation to get going. I couldn't have other people having one of our own without his own podcast. So thank you, because you've probably given us the motivation to get back in it.
I can't help it. I had the offer, and if people enjoyed this one, then I definitely got to let them know. Check out the NW47 podcast on SoundCloud. And Tara Lee Live, I had a follow-up episode with her on YouTube.
Yeah, I listened to both of those. It was great. It was good. I was like, oh, it's Stoneley. What's he doing? I'd kind of taken a bit of hiatus from BIF and anything online, really, throughout summer with COVID and family and all sorts of stuff going on. So it was the little sharp jolt I needed to get back in action. So here we are.
Yeah, it had a big kick in the butt for everybody, it seemed. A huge boost on the server. Big group of people came in, and a lot of the NW47 guys came in as well, and it was great.
Yeah. So what have you got in the tent currently then, Stoneley?
Right now, I have a lot of stuff from Brothers and Farms. I have some of the Bucky's Breath times Pure Michigan. I have some Lemon Carver, which was Jat's Peanut Butter Breath times Black Lemon Cake. And I also have a little bit of stuff that I'm working on and testing right now, Dosey Garlic Breath F2s. The only thing I don't have from BIF is something called King Tusk from Aloha Island Genetics. I'm trying them out. A buddy of mine recommended it, and it's King Louie times White Widow with Gorilla Glue and Stardog in the mix.
Yeah, that's quite a mix, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be good if you know, all those are great classic strains, but I'm excited for all of it.
Yeah. So what generation's that?
That one, I believe it's just an F1 at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything in that garden's F1 other than my Dosey Garlic Breath F2. Those are obviously F2s, and hopefully there'll be something that'll be good for outdoors sometime.
Nice,
getting
nice,
snow
nice.
In now.
How's the Black Lemon Cake PBB?
Oh, that Lemon Carver is frosty, super dense, extremely nice. That's something that I'm planning on doing something with, hopefully in the future. We'll talk about that maybe later.
Yeah, I've got some of Jat's PBB Black Lemon Cake, and I've had them for a while, and I keep thinking, right, let's get it on, let's get them grown. But then
definitely should.
I keep throwing more autos in the mix just out of kind of convenience, for time. So I should really make the effort.
I made an accident with those, actually. I thought they were reg. I didn't double check, and I popped my whole pack, and then I realized they're a femme. I was like, oh boy, nothing wrong with that. I was trying to actually go for something that would have some inconsistency. I was trying to go for that reg, so that way I could toss a few out.
Yeah.
But popped the whole pack, found something I liked.
Nice. So what did you do with the rest? Did you kind of ended up growing all of those out or not?
Oh yeah, I grew them all with the flower, and I took two that I liked into clone. Or I tried to, I took a few of clones off of them. And yeah. The ones that I liked the most, I kept the two. the two that I liked.
Yeah.
And one of them, one of the two, was one that did clone, and one of the other two did not actually want to clone for me when I had it in veg. So I was trying to run a reveg on her. The reveg failed. So I only have the one that I was, to be honest, the most interested in. The other one was looking more just like a very pretty girl to keep around. That would be a pretty plant to run, but wasn't something I was interested in breeding with.
Okay.
It just didn't have all the traits that you'd want to bring forward. It didn't have the bigger buds, the better smells. It had the denser buds, the frosty as it could be. You could see it green that and run a whole garden and be happy. But if you're looking for something to breed with, something to work with, this other one had more of the terpenes I liked. It was stronger in the growth, stronger in the bud structure, larger buds, just as dense, but it didn't have that exact eye appeal as the other girl. The other girl, she had just this beautiful mixture of orange and silver that caught your eye. So I'm sad she didn't reveg, but it just gives me more of a reason to work with the one that had the qualities worth taking forward.
Well, looks aren't everything, so I've been told.
Yeah, exactly. The one that looked better, she did not have the better smells, and I am a huge smell guy. That's something about the Dosi Garlic Breath F2s. They smell like, well the F1, the male smelled like onions and steak and garlic. And the female smelled like all that good old gassy, cushy stuff that I grew up on, mixed in with just a little bit of this new age funk. And then when I smoked it, it had that profile of mushrooms. That's the only thing I could name, is that was so earthy and it related to mushrooms. So hopefully I'm getting that GMO trifecta to be worked into the offspring.
No, see, nose is not my strong point. I think I've smoked for far too long and my taste buds and nose aren't the best now, unfortunately. But so how do you grow though? What's your methods?
I like to use so the nutrients I run is the Green Leaf Nutrients line of Mega Crop and Bud Explosion. I add a little bit of CalMag for CalMag, and I use HydroGuard for res stabilization. That's pretty much that all that goes into my res 99% of the time. And then in that res is a bucket that just bottom feeds into trays using the Aqua Valve easy to go. Basically, it's a float system, like a float. Just goes straight into a tray, and all my pots are sitting in the tray. They sit in the water. They suck it up.
Yeah. Stuff. And so I'm going to assume that you're cocoa.
Yes, 100% cocoa, no perlite. And I got a shout out, Jat. He was the guy that really really showed me the light when I seen the roots that he was having shooting out into his trays. I said, that's what I want.
Yeah,
I want to go for that. And it's so simple, so easy. I moved on from blue mats. That's what I used to do. Blue mat had too many failure points of like you just too many lines. The more lines you have, the more carrots you have, the more chances of issues you have. It wasn't anything wrong with the product, but the more you expanded, the more points of failure you have. Where this, the only point of failure you have really is one line to one little valve that's sitting in a tray. And the only issue you could really have is something being clogged, which if the very short tube can be swapped out and cleaned super quickly, or if it creates a very teeny vacuum with it sitting perfectly flat on the valve sitting perfectly flat on the tray. And in that case, you see, oh, no water came out. Let me pick it up, put it back down for half a second. And that fixes it. There's a lot more issues than many other systems. And this has no electricity, no thought.
I did something similar myself. I was also using blue mats and I had a blockage, and then I kind of turned up the valve thinking it was, you know, it just wasn't dialed in, and then came back the next day and my tray was full, you know, a good 3 inches full. Fortunately, I had a deep tray. And So I switched the blue mats off and thought, right, okay, I'll let them soak up that 3 inch of water. And they absolutely bloomed, you know, they really did. And I thought, Jesus, right, okay. I know what I'm doing now. Let's go to tray feed and away we go. And so, yeah, so I haven't actually used, I've got the aquapots, but I've been manually flooding them. I just set up a tap on my res, but I've been using a real light mix of soil. So not 100% cocoa. So I let them have a day off once in a blue moon without any liquid in. It just keeps my humidity down at the moment. But I think for laziness, I'll probably connect the valve at some point.
Yeah, it's nice how slow it drains. It's that's where I really find the difference is that I would not sit there with a bucket and pour it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Where this thing will very slowly pull up into your girls. And I feel like that has some sort of benefit of that. It's not shocking their roots with, hey, now you're sitting in water. Cause I'm pretty impatient. It takes about 5 seconds for me to pour some bucket into a tray if it doesn't have the aqua valve.
Yeah. What are they over in the States? They must be like $20 or something for an aqua valve anyway. It's not much, is it?
It's not much. Honestly, I think it's probably about 20, maybe 30 bucks. I'll pull it up real quick. Yeah, $23 if you look it up. Autopot Aqua Valve.
The full easy to go kit. So
yeah, 20 to 30 bucks. That the whole and the setup, a whole system. I really wouldn't be spending more than 70 bucks. I'm paying for the easy to go kit, and I'm paying for. I usually use a 5 gallon bucket as a res, so that's not that much, not that expensive. And then you get a tray, and the trays that I go and find usually aren't too expensive. You gotta know where you're looking. Washing machine trays for sure. That's when one thing I'm thankful for Biff is pointing me away from the hydro store and towards the alternative stores that have the same product, but.
Yeah, it's
but not three times as much.
It's a funny market, isn't it? The difference, obviously, me being European, it's the market over here on trays, like the good deep 3-inch to 4-inch garland trays. They're really cheap here and really easy to get hold of. You can get them in any size you like, really easy to get. And I noticed it's the one thing that seemed people in the States seem to struggle with was getting them cheap and. Availability. Whereas I think you have the look of the drawer and most other things.
Yeah, finding the actual branded, like, hey, this is for groundwork and it's a few inches deep and you can put your stuff on it, man, you can find some very gouging prices, and you just have to know what to look for and be okay. You know, like I said, washing machine trays, my friend at Flower Bounty Farms, he uses kiddie pools. Has basically his overfill of trays, and if there's another buddy in Biff that does it as well.
There's two, isn't there? I've seen two now. There's another new greenie doing the same.
That's Darwin. That's our buddy from Flower Bounty, and then other guy, he's been doing it for a while as well, and he puts rubber duckies in there.
He does
to help the light. Yeah, it's great. Oh man!
So what about lighting?
Excuse me, lighting.
Yeah,
I use there's two light companies that I've used so far. Spider Farmer and Miju.
Yeah.
Just getting an Alibaba cheapo board from China is pretty much the same components, just plug and play. I don't mind doing that, and then. With my Spider Farmer, though, the only caveats on that I want to let people know about is if you plan on breeding, you don't want to select their ones with the brushed aluminum boards. If it's painted, that's good. That's a silky, slick texture. But if it's this brushed aluminum, it has a sort of a... it's textured, basically, and when pollen hits that, and then if you try to wipe it down while that board is warm, it's basically bakes it in to the board.
Okay.
So just
end it with a pollen crust.
Company, just if you breed in, excuse me.
You end up with like a pollen crust on the brushed aluminium.
Yes, absolutely. And I assume the pollen is heated up enough where it's not going to actually, you know, pollinate your girls. But it is now leaving a layer of crust, like you said, that's adding to inefficiencies to your heat sink. So yeah, you can look at it as that, as heating up your tent, and you can't get it off as easy. So just make sure it's dried before you wipe. I mean, make sure it's cooled before you wipe it if you do, or just go with something that has not a brushed aluminum board. My Miju lights have a very sleek painted texture. Plenty of other boards are out there. Plenty of other lights are out there.
So always like this 301 boards, then I take it.
Yeah, the H's or the B's, LM301. Yeah. Yes, yeah, and that's pretty much, as long as you know that you're grabbing one of those, it's like getting a AA battery in a way. You know, it's a AA.
Yeah,
you might get a Duracell, it might last a little longer, but in the end, AA until it corrodes.
Then a couple of factories, different names.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know exactly what to compare it to off the top of my head, but it's when it comes down to the components, you know, if you're getting those, like we said, the 301s and the diodes are the same on just about every board.
Yeah, there's only so many ways you can skin a cat, really, with those, you know, with passive heat sinks and stuff. So,
yep.
You know, yes, that's where the difference
comes, like I said, like we were talking about, the difference perfectly. It comes from the heat sinks. So if you're breeding, brushed aluminum might bake in. If you're not, then, you know, do whatever you want. I'm not the master of telling you what light to get or not to get. I honestly just go with what's cheapest. Well, what does it turn on?
I think there's a lot to be said about hassle-free experience. You know, if you bought a product, it works. You don't have to be an electrical engineer and be able to talk. You know, friend. You know, experience is speaks volumes for me. You know,
that's a great point, because I've been waiting on these Miju lights. I did another order. I've been waiting 4 months, and they're finally going to come after a quarter of a year. So. Y'all can remember that as well.
So what made you want to create your own strain? What was it that kind of jumped you from just growing for personal use to wanting to have a go at breeding?
Well, originally I wanted to do personal use because I was tired of the dangerous stuff that I had in my local area. The black market was legitimately dangerous. The stuff you smoke could put you in the hospital, could injure you. And there was a point where I was also paying too much. So I moved on to start growing. And after I started growing for a bit, I realized this is such a big issue that there needs to be a way to help educate people and give them something that can move them away from this dangerous stuff. So I realized that breeding is what kind of makes that biggest impact. Making seeds and being able to provide seeds to a community that is interested in being positive and helping people out, being healthy with the experience of that growth, of, you know, growing those seeds out. That's seems to be what I believed in my mind would help my area the best. And it seems to have kind of worked. A lot of people in Virginia are running monkey bread, and they are saying this is some of the best stuff they've smoked, and they're happy to be moving away from the dangerous stuff that they used to have access to.
I suppose if you're local as well and people know who you are and you've got a strain, there's that personal investment, isn't there, on their behalf? Because if it's just any old random strain, they just grow it and they're not that excited about it. But I suppose if they know the breeder or they know of the breeder, there's that interaction there and a bit more personality to it.
Yes, 100%. And that's why I've been happy that we've we've done some steps towards legalization, and I've been able to come out in some ways and come to some events and speak to people and promote BIF and try to educate at the chances that I have and bring people into Brothers and Farms where they can move away from what was before and move towards the future, which should be a lot better, you know, to put it very, very shortly.
Okay. Well, I can kind of appreciate what you're saying there about kind of encouraging local growers and then being enthusiastic about it. Cause certainly one of the things that drew me to BIF when I first joined was that interaction with the breeders, was to be able to grow their strains, post it in their little channels and go, this is what I'm doing, this is what mine looks like, you know. And they're super enthusiastic, and it's that two-way growing process. And I love that. I always get a big kick out of kind of sharing what I'm growing of the kind of breeder's gear.
Yeah, being on both sides of that, I agree. I've been on the sides of testing and having testers, and it's exciting on both ends to be like, hey, I'm helping you out, I'm helping you create this strain and test it and prove that it's of quality. And then also being on the other side of being like, oh my God, these guys are growing my stuff and it's looking like that. Like, Runic Fury posted a photo of his Monkey Bread Solo Cup, and that thing was giant. It was bigger. it was taller than a vacuum that was beside it coming out of the Solo Cup.
Yeah, and it was, I saw that.
Chunkers. And so it being on both sides is so great, but definitely just being able to see somebody bring something in and then being able to be part of the project is, it's something that you don't get with other opportunities, other grows, other servers, other seed companies, whatever you want to call it. BIF brings something special for that. You know, and you get to see the growth, and it's open to the people in the server.
Yeah.
Proven.
So, Monkey Bread, could you want to talk us through it? Because obviously that's the strain that's a go at the moment and that's out there to purchase. So what was it about, I don't know, the strain choices that made you want to combine them in the first place? Because whenever I talk to breeders, you know, and we chat about it, I'm always interested to know why those two. Because you get a lot of people who are just randomly mashing two popular strains together and then thinking, I'll make a popular strain.
Sure. Let me pull up my little chart on Monkey Bread real quick, and we'll talk about that real quick so I don't get anything wrong. Depending on how far you want to go back, Bucky's the boy that originally sent me the F1. He sent me a few slurry cake crosses, and one of them was black banana cookies and slurry cake. And I had originally really had my eyes on the Gusher's slurry cake, not going to lie. I love my Monkey Bread, but I originally had my eyes on that Gusher slurry cake. And I decided to run the black banana cookie slurry cake first. I was in my mind, I was like, oh, gotta save the best for last. Save the best for last. And in this growth of the growing out this fucking, oops, growing out this tent full of, can I cuss?
I think you can cuss.
All right. I'm trying to hold myself back a little bit, but I'll try not to get too bad. But growing out this cross, I found a male in the F1, and this male was, in my mind, something I couldn't kill. He was the only male that popped up, and that was originally just reason enough. Oh, you know, only one male, easy, get him out. You know, I have a free garden. But then it also, there's the other half of the universe gave me this one male. Let's look at him. And when I looked at him, he smelled so good. I'm always about the smell. His smell was one terpene, straight lime, baby. Just lime. Like if you've ever had ceviche, if y'all know what I'm talking about, that is a lime. That's fish cooked in lime. It was like somebody had been cooking ceviche around me because it's just overbearing lime. You rub it with your fingers, you go to wash your hands, and it's still fucking there. It was lime. And I looked at it.
I don't know what ceviche is. What kind of fish is that? Or is it?
You can do. Oh, that's kind of like the cooking style. Usually it's like shrimp or we sometimes do it with
Okay,
tilapia. But yeah, just you're just cooking it cooks it, technically denatures it, but that's a whole different story. But that if y'all are familiar with ceviche, that's what it reminded me of. If not, then just imagine you have a bowl full of limes that have been like 20 limes have been squished into a bowl and all that lime juice and you're just smelling it. And so when he was just one terpene, one straight terpene, one straight smell, that made me realize, well, that's probably what's going to be put off towards the children. I have an idea of what's going to be put out. And when I looked at the structure was great. He had a little bit of purpling and bluing in his balls and his pollen sacs. They were stacked quite well. He was, the structure kind of looked like a very good tree. He spread out. He had good branching. He was thick. He was tall. He was above the girls. And I was like, I can't kill him. I went and asked Bucky. I said, "Hey, bud, I know you sent me these out. I didn't really buy them. Is it okay if I do something with it? Like, I found this mail. Just want to be honest, because some people do feel a little upset if you give them something and then you make something out of it. So I just wanted to, and I always want to, I do want to get a yes." A no probably isn't going to stop me, but I want a yes. But he said yes, and so I was like, great. And I had that tent was full of, I don't remember quite how many it was. It was a 4x4, but it was filled with a bunch of the black banana slurry cakes, and then I had two GDPs. And I hit the GDPs as well, and that didn't pan out as well. But the these the monkey bread prevailed because I had found a pheno that smelled similar to sour gummy worms. Smelled like she would go very good with that lime because it was just this candy, berry-licious goodness. And I assume that comes from when we're talking about the genetics in it, I assume that comes from the blackberry kush and the banana fire cookies, that half of the black banana cookies. I assume that's the fruitiness and the goodness that's coming out because it's blackberry bubba kush. And then that would bring some of the dark colors. And then on the other half is where I think a lot of the power and what ends up, monkey bread ends up throwing out is some cheese phenos, or some cheesy funk. And that I think that comes all the way from the, we'll have to go into the slurry cake line. Slurry cake is slurry cake. Sorry, slurry cake is slurry breath. Cross the cake batter OG. That was also done by Biff and Brothers from Farms, my boy Bucky. And then deeper into the slurry breath is slurry cane number 9 and Velveeta breath. Velveeta breath, Velveeta, obviously cheese. So in-house genetics, slurry cane number 9 and Thug Pug's Velveeta breath. All the way back there in that grandpa, it brings out some cheese in the monkey bread. And what I thought would end up being a lot of lime forward ended up being peaches and fruits and candies and almost if you've ever had, I don't know if they have Smarties over there,
I sure
but
do.
Smarties is okay. It's kind of like, I don't know if they did this when you were a kid, but kids used to smoke Smarties, and you can get that kind of the smoked Smartie flavor with peaches, and it's just absolutely mind-boggling. The smell of peach rings is another candy that it emanates. Just seems to candify and bring back memories in people. I mentioned Runic Fury earlier. He was one of my good testers, and he had found something that reminded him of Smurf Berry cereal, which is obviously a cereal bowl from his, I guess, his childhood. He said it was from the 80s, so it just brings back whatever fruit you have, and then it brings back a memory of candy with it, and it seems to be magical in that way.
It's funny, you said about Velveeta breath is every day is always a school day in my opinion. And I hadn't realized what the name meant because obviously I'm not from the States. Velveeta isn't something, a product I've ever come across. And it wasn't until I saw a picture of it the other day of some like mac and cheese Velveeta, I suddenly thought, oh, I understand. I've got it.
That makes sense.
I understand the name.
Yeah. So, I guess there's a few things like that. I bet Runtz people might not know about Runtz if they don't know their candy as well.
100%. They won't know where that comes from. So like you're on about Runic was one of your testers. Who else ran tests for you?
So Runic was one of my main guys. Give me just a second to pull up my brain. Runic, my buddy Wacko Zacko, I gotta say, I love you, Wacko. You did an incredible job, and I'm very happy to see you test my stuff. There was also supposed to be a few other guys, but give me a second to remember their name. You might have to edit this and be honest. Because both of them left. Both of them left the server, so I don't remember their name.
He had some hit and runs.
Yeah. Queen BB? They had like a nun in their profile photo. I don't remember what the other dude's name was.
I suppose that's the frustration when it comes to getting your gear out and running it for tests is, you know, there's that kind of thing. Yes, I'll have some free seeds and run your gear, and then off the world they go, you know, and you don't get that feedback.
Yeah. So I think that I guess that's the dangers you run. It was my first time putting something out, so I didn't exactly have the, not to say the trust, but I hadn't had the rapport and built everything that would prove myself as something to be a worthwhile investment, I guess. So I was trying to pick out some people that haven't grown as much. I was very thankful that Runic did grew for me, because he's another breeder and he's a great grower. Wacko, I think it was one of his first few photo runs, but he still did very, very good. Ended up growing a nice big plant, tons of tops, showed the potential of the amount of branching within the monkey bread. And Runic did a very, very, very long veg and had done tons of growth on it. I loved him. He did solo cups. He did big plants. He scrogged it. He tried to see if he could just get big colas out of it. And just to be able to see it grown in multiple pot sizes and multiple styles, that was the big thing. And of course, I mean, I tested it myself, but not a big shout out to myself for that.
Well, Runic, I watched some of Runic's pictures the other day, and some people will go and train their plants. They'll spread out, you know, the branches, try and level the canopy off, bit of LST, bit of tucking, whereas Runic spent a day doing one plant. I noticed the other day under a scrog and kind of tuck in. He was there for hours. It's just it's a dedication to getting a huge level plant, I suppose.
Yeah, and you see when he comes out how good it looks. He's scrogging one of his monkey breads, and it's just one plant filling up an entire 4x4.
Yeah.
And it's got so many tops. It looks very, very pretty. And he's fought through so much stuff with those plants, you know. He's gone and fought back through I think he said he had root aphids, and they powered through those soil drenches and everything. So just to see that my monkey bread is able to handle not only the attacks of the parasites, but also the cures. Because some things just take the attacks and they die, or they take the attack and you try to cure it and then you kill it by trying to, you know, it's like, oh, it just can't handle what you've applied. So it's cool to see that the girl's resilient, as she should be. Actually, I found his Instagram. His Instagram is, it's got a few underscores in between each, is an underscore in between each word. It's black and white Film Parade. So black_and_white_film_parade_. And you can see the Monkey Bread Scrogged one, as well as he posted that that solo cup that ended up huge.
And for future reference there, Runic, if you do listen to this, ease off on the underscores.
Too much. Just throw G.
So what plans have you got for Monkey Breath now? Are you going to continue crossing it back, or where are you going to go with it?
With Monkey Bread, I want to hopefully take it to, I usually don't like speaking until stuff is done, but I'll speak to the plans for the sake of the people.
You're committing now.
I would like to take it to an F3 and then possibly move to a feminized version for people, as well as take that F3 reg and take a male that I enjoy and hit it across, do a few other things. Hopefully at that time, the Dosey Garlic Breath will have moved forward in a positive light. And then I'll be able to combine my Monkey Bread and my Dosey Garlic Breath and have something that's a good mix of that outdoor vigor and strength and all those great genetics on that half, as well as this sweet, peachy fruitiness, whatever aisle I decided to take the terpenes with, because there's so many great options. But just take this very great branching plant and be able to apply it to a plant that's doing great for outdoors, and have, boom, the tree of everyone's dreams that can withstand the extremely annoying heat and humidity that the southeast of America endures. During August, we get our hurricane season, and that just leads to bud rot for October.
So what kind of humidity are you getting out there then at that time of year?
Oh, bless, dude. You don't even want to know. And at night, it feels like you're crawling in soup. It's almost always 90% humidity yet. That's like, so is that's with the lights out, and then with the lights on, with the sun out, oh man, it's still hot and humid. It's a horror show.
I'm gonna assume running trays, it's not gonna make much difference then for you. You know, you're not gonna see much of an increase if you're already in the 90s.
Yeah, it's very humid outside, so when I run trays indoors, nah, I don't really find that big of an increase. I'm already running my dehumidifiers pretty strong. So it's just whatever. I've definitely not something that you would be running a dehumidifier into a 1 gallon bucket, though. You're probably taking, if you're indoors, you're taking gallons upon gallons of water out, buddies. A day, at least double digit gallons a day. So at least 10 to 99 is a big range, but
yeah,
at least 10 to 20 gallons a day of during the summer is how much water you'd probably be taking out, because it's just humid as hell, man.
I'm glad to see you've got some kind of plans for the feminizing as well, because I'm me with a tight, small grow space with, you know, running on a clock for personal use. Fems are just, that's where I go. I haven't got the time to muck around. So I love the fems. And like people always say, oh, well, just grow a stack of regs and then just pull them out. And it's like, just give me some fems.
Yeah, a lot of people definitely do want fems, and I recognize that. I don't have any preference one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of extra work, really, to get it feminized. Not a little bit, that's a very big understatement. But I think that eventually I would like to provide it as a feminized, just so that way more people can run it, have more access to it. And it seems to be a way that a lot of people seem to go. They'll take it to a farther generation and then they'll feminize it. Then that just seems to be their big releases is once it's feminized. I don't know. That's why I'm always so iffy about what I'm going to say, because what happens is my mind changes every day, every 3 seconds.
I've got your pin now. This is documented now, Stonely.
No, no.
I'm aware that kind of you went legal recently. So how long ago was that?
So Virginia went legal in July. That's when the laws were basically enacted, and it's been very interesting. We were allowed four plants. Okay. We can trade up to an ounce. There's no recreational market yet, so they've just ignited a very black market on fire. And it's interesting. Interesting way they went about it.
So, like, just all the states and all the laws seem to be in a real kind of mix in the USA, and obviously there seems to be different kind of parameters set by each different state. I know it's strange because like other countries in the world have like one set of laws per country and that's it. You know, so you're countrywide, there's your law. So the size of the states, them all being having to have these individual little nuances. So can you just spark up a joint, walk down the street, nice summer day?
Can I?
Yeah.
That's a question. That's a fun question. I think I would probably be able to get away with it.
Okay.
I don't think anybody would really be mad. I've walked around, smoked around. But I don't know if it's really technically okay. I don't think I would be thrown in jail.
Yeah.
I might get a small fine. I would assume if it really went to it, but I really don't know.
So can you walk like, down the street with a Budweiser and drink a Bud on the way down the street?
Here, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
really.
So, but like
Vegas,
in some places, in some states, in some areas, you can, like Vegas, open container is super fine. Here, I think they call that open container.
Right. Okay. All right. So it's strange. There's in UK, for instance, you can do what you like. not with weed, obviously, but with alcohol, you can do what you like. There's some inner cities, like right in the center of towns, they might have, and it's a very old law that they kind of redid not so long back, where you might have like a mile radius in the middle of town where you can't drink in the street or something like that. COVID's kind of released the brakes on that a little bit. But it's interesting that you can't, you know, go for a smoke in the park or something and walk around even though it's legal.
Yeah, so when I went to, I've gone to events where, so here, all right, here, I guess to expand on that better, I think if it's private property, you're pretty much fine as long as the owner is okay with it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure people are fine to go to bars and ask, hey, can I go smoke on the deck? And if they say yes, then it's fine.
All right.
But I don't know if like I can do it on the road, on the street, at the park.
Yeah. Okay.
But also, I'm also in kind of an area where people haven't cared for a while what the laws have been. I mean, I've caught people, not like I caught you, but I've seen people like rolling up at the Walmart stoplight. It's a small town. There's nothing to do but smoke weed. That's how a lot of the South is. I mean, unless you're in a big city, there's not much to do but get high or get drunk or stare at some fucking corn. Like that's what we do, I guess. we literally, it's pretty common to go on a drive and smoke around. So whether that's legal or not, we've just done it for such a dang long time that we just hide it either way, I guess.
Yeah. There's got to be a sense of relief though around that legalization that you no longer, I don't know, not necessarily hide, but you know, there's that extra dark shadows no longer hanging over you that you're completely illegal all the time with growing.
Oh yeah, dude. It's so much nicer knowing that it's not as bad as it was. Man, I realized, you know, it's a slow burn too, where you slowly feel the weight fall come off too. When I was first doing, we legalized in July, so I couldn't run an outdoor until July, right? So that's not optimal. I'm running stuff in the middle of July, and it's just I'm It feels all off. It feels weird to be outdoors with plants. And then I'll hear the police siren down in the middle of town, a few streets away, whatever. And I know it happened once. I heard the siren, and I basically started fast walking inside, like I was doing something wrong, even though I knew everything right there was okay.
Yeah,
I was still like, oh, I got to get inside. I hear that. I can't be outside beside this. And I get inside, and I'm like, dude, the whole time I'm thinking, dude, you don't have to do this. But I'm also thinking, my legs are like, yes, you do. You got to move. Yeah. And then recently, I realized, like I said, it's a slow burn, because I realized almost always, I'm sure we've all peeked at what cars going up and down the road. Usually I peaked out of fear, you know, paranoia rather. Now I peak out of nosiness.
Well, I think, you know, and there's always that weight there in the background. It's something that's illegal, shouldn't be doing it. And if you think about it, for the last few years, certainly in the States, where you'd had medical people with a real medical need, and they're growing, and that criminality is there lurking on their mind that whole time. It's such an oppressive environment to kind of do what should be right, you know? So I'm glad it's kind of easing off for you guys over there. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's been nice. Like I said, it's just a very fresh law. It's barely been 6 months. A lot of stuff is kind of questionable and in the air, and I think a lot of us are waiting to see the precedents get set by the courts, by to see, you know, who does get caught for what, so we can see what's actually not okay, which kind of sucks. But I think I'm kind of finally at the point where, like, I can drive with weed and not have to have a heart attack. I can, you know, smoke in my house. I can smoke in my backyard or in my front yard. And the only thing I have to worry about is my neighbors just looking at me stingily. Yeah. Like, that's cool. I'll take a stink eye any day.
So you went to the Kind Cup, didn't you? Was that a local event for you?
Yeah, so the Kind Cup was one of the first few cannabis events in Virginia. Wasn't too local. I had to drive a few hours. It was more in the Northern Virginia area, up in the mountains. It's a really pretty spot. They decided to. They originally were going to have it at a vineyard, and then they like last minute they swapped to this place on top of a mountain that was admittedly was very pretty, but it was kind of a big change for some of the vendors. One of the guys was going to sell wine glasses. One of the glass blowing dudes, Coded Chronic, and he was going to do these strong wine glasses, and then instead we're at a closed. It used to be a school in the 50s, and they just turned it into like an event ground, basically. So it's like completely out of not the right spot, but. It was cool. It was nice. It was very pretty. I'm just babbling about the place. What's your question about it?
I suppose for me, being in a country which is very illegal, being able to go along, smoke, talk about cannabis, look at different piles of bud, look at the testing, look at all that, sounds like Nirvana. So I suppose with you being all of a sudden being legal and being able to go along to something like that, it must have been brilliant, surely.
It was interesting. So yeah, like I said, we're just in that halfway legal range with Virginia. We haven't set up any dispensaries. We don't have any legal grows. The only thing that we really do have is the home grow. So when we were there, the buds that were there were all CBD that they really had to show, unless somebody was, you know, showing a clone,
right,
which isn't budded. So there was clones there for sale, which was cool, but all the buds that people had seemed to be were CBD. That was what they were most people were willing to bring. But they also were kind of like, when I first walked in, they're like, they kind of alluded towards, hey, you can't smoke here. And I kind of alluded towards, hey, I don't care. Okay. And people, because like everybody else was smoking anyway, I think it was just kind of one of those like, wink, wink, we got to say this, but like, it ain't happening, not at this place. I was like, yeah, I did not drive a few hours not to smoke all day at a cannabis event. I'm sorry. I respect stuff, but I also understand this is a silly rule right now.
Yeah, that's 100%. We think we should say this to you.
Yeah. Because they saw in my bag I had jars. I had space in jars. They're like, you can't. And I was like, oh, no, yeah, I'm just going to walk over here and disappear.
So what did you take? Because I know you took some strains with you and entered them in the competition.
All right, so I took the... Actually, let me take this bong grip first once.
BiffBeans.com. If you've been listening to Brothers in Farms podcast and are not already a member of the community, head on over to BiffBeans.com. Select Discord from the menu and click Discord invite to start your journey. BiffBeans.com.
You're on the edge of your seat.
All right, my good. All right, I took some Zimeldica from some Wookiee Zam.
Okay.
And I entered that in the auto category. And I also took some Sunday Driver and I put that in for Photo Period Hybrid. Sunday Driver Slurry Cake from Bucky. So those were both Biff strains. I only entered with stuff that I grew that was from Brothers and Farms.
Awesome.
If I would have had Monkey Bread, I would have entered that, but I had already smoked all mine before I heard about the event. This was the second event that I've heard about for like this. There was one other one on Halloween, and like I said earlier, my friend Fowler Bounty Farms, another Virginia hemp grower, he had told me about this one, the Kind Cup, and basically. Fun little quick story on that. He had called me because originally the tickets sold out before I'd bought any, because I was kind of thinking about getting it or getting the tickets last minute. Tickets sold out, and then he calls me the day before and says, "Hey, there's 2 tickets on sale, but they're only the tickets to enter your strains." I was like, "Well, I only really need 1 ticket to enter my strain." Yeah. But I do need to bring, you know, my significant other with me. So, gonna have to buy both of the entrance tickets. So we ended up entering 2 Zams rather than just 1 Zam and one thing of Sunday Driver Slurry Cake, because I had just harvested that Zam. I had just jarred it just days before.
Oh, okay.
And I had a good amount of the Sunday Driver Slurry Cake. Or not a good amount. I had less of the Sunday Driver Slurry Cake that I wanted to get rid of. So when you enter these things, they don't want an eighth. They want, well, this one wanted a quarter. And talking to people, that's a very light entrance fee.
I was picturing an ounce there myself.
Yeah, so I picked the very best quarter I could, and I gave them, so basically I gave them 2 quarters of Zam and some Sunday Driver Slurry Cake, and I entered all of those, and I honestly asked them, I said, "Y'all aren't going to smoke all of this, right? Y'all got a lot of stuff to smoke today." Because they basically had a cooler tote filled with jars. I was like, I kind of want to take my weed and my jar back. my girl, we had discussed it. We were like, you know, I think they're just going to get a lot of free jars and possibly free weed at the end of the day. So we asked for our stuff back. But we get to the Zam and the Sunday Driver. We got third place in hybrid for the Sunday Driver Slurry Cake. Got to shout out Bucky for that great for that great cross. That smokes incredibly slow in a joint. It's so nice and resinous. It tastes really good. Smells delectable. It's one of those ones where you sniff it, you can't name what it is, but you keep sniffing. And then the Zam, because we entered two of it, they gave it first and second place, so it was good enough to get first and second place. which was very funny.
how long did that queue for? Because you kind of said that you'd only just jarred it up. What sort of queue did that have to win first and second prize?
This jar, I'll look at this jar, says 11-4, November 4th. And that event happened that weekend.
Wow, okay, so that was very fresh with not much queue at all.
Yeah, so I think that must have been the 9th. Then that must have been, let me look through my photos and double check. November. I do believe. Oh yeah, so that event was on the 6th. That event was on the 6th and this jar says 4 on it.
two days. So did you have like a prolonged drying period or anything like that?
With this one's,
yeah,
no, I believe I try to get as close to 60-60 as I could, 60% humidity and 60, actually, honestly, I tried to get close, I believe to, it was 61 or 62 okay. at that time, just to be as precise. I think I honestly was trying to hit 62, and I did that for, I believe, 10 days and it was good.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my usual thing, is anywhere around 60-60 and 7 to 14 days. Nothing too fancy.
Okay. It's nice.
Try to keep it close to that.
So I'm taking you've made both of those gentlemen very happy then, taking those strains along.
Yeah, Frosty Wookie was very, very happy about winning with the Wookie Zam, especially with it being just in testing. He's going to be actually working on some blue microverse stuff in the future for y'all to keep your eye out for. And Bucky, of course, Bucky was very happy to hear the Sunday Driver Slurry Cake is a one, because I don't know if there's still any on the site, but he was telling me that last time I talked to him, he was saying that they were getting low on stock. So it's that last little chance for y'all to get that cup winner is now.
Yeah, get yourself on the website and go for it.
Mm-hmm. And beans.com if y'all don't know.
Yeah. So I think Wookie's still got some more work to do on the Zams, has he? Or I don't think we're ready for releasing those yet.
Yeah, not yet. That's why I'm saying keep an eye out for the blue microverse stuff as well.
Yeah, I posted a picture of that today. It was looking rather special. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh man, he was speaking to me about it, and he's thinking that it's going to be some cool stuff. And honestly, since the Zam won the cup, I'm gotta believe him. If he says it's going to be special, I gotta keep an eye on it. I knew I really liked Zam. I keep calling it Zam for short. We haven't explained what it is. It's Somaltica Express. It's an autoflower and strain that I believe was originally from Night Owl. And it's basically a Phantasmo Express, which is kind of like a Ghost Train OG auto. And that's been crossed into an African land race called Zomaltica.
Yeah. And
it makes a very nice, nice sativa, a good clear head, but you're high. You're high, but you're not brain dead functioned, which is something special for something as high as you get. I think that might be why it won.
And these will be regs as well, I imagine, are they?
Yes, they are regs as well.
Auto regs, yeah.
Yep, auto regs. And that's something that I love about Biff, is there's aren't many auto regs out there on the market. But you can actually get auto regs at our site. So if that's something that people are interested in, it's something that's actually available. Most places it's not available.
It's like, you know, if people are getting the temptation, maybe they've grown for a while, you know, and they think, I'm going to make my own strain, you know, I'm maybe going to give it a go, and they get some auto regs. Is, I suppose, what's the best advice you can give to somebody who's going to take the plunge into kind of breeding reg, you know, auto flowers or standard photos? As it's a commitment, isn't it? I suppose, not to be taken lightly.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's something that's, it's one of those things that's so much easier said than done, and quicker said than done as well. It's definitely a labor of love and time. You gotta realize that it's not like lighting a candle and it's over in a few hours. You've gotta really take your time, your months and years of dedication to crafting what you can hopefully put your name behind as what you'd really like to put your name behind, something wonderful. If you don't improve on those parent generations, then what have you done?
Yeah.
You know, if somebody gives you the Mona Lisa and your instructions is to paint over it, you better make it look better, right?
Yeah, well, that's like the question I kind of asked early doors was like, you know, what's your intention? Is there seems to be so many people that just want to grab two strains, bang them together, and there's no improvement, there's no thought behind it. It's just I'm going to mash those two together and see what happens. You know, doesn't seem to be a goal.
Absolutely, there's been a lot of there are a lot of blind creations out there, and I would say blind creation is okay as long as you test it and check it out and see what you've created. You know, if you somebody decided peanut butter and jelly sandwich, somebody decided that was good. Before that, it was just a test. You know,
yeah,
right. So as long as we test what you've done blindly, but if you just throwing it out there and saying give me $70 and you've made a put bananas on pizza, I'm not going to be too pleased with you, brother.
You Americans throwing two random food groups together, it's just not cool.
It's not right.
Putting syrup on savory, just stop doing that. No, but I kind of like I've been watching Jay because when I kind of took a break at the start of summer, Jay was he's still been kind of working on his strain for quite a long time, and when I came back, I thought, all right, this will be punched out and tested and let it go. But he's so patiently kind of taken years to kind of run this, you know. Photo to auto, and then he's gone back again, and he's just invested so much into producing something. And I think that's that bit that can't be understated. You know, he's sacrificed his own personal smoke for such a long time to kind of create something.
Yeah, props to Jay. I was speaking to him before. I honestly think before I even really started on the Black Banana Cookies Slurry Cake Monkey Bread Path, and we were talking about Trainwreck. And right now, one of the things that he's testing with has Trainwreck in it, I believe. And he also, I think he also has the Durban Poison Autos that is out in testing.
Yeah.
And he's taken his time. He's made sure that it's what he wanted. He's putting in effort into things that he's proud of and happy with. And I know one of his testers, Mind's Eye Open, I talk to him every once in a while. He's so happy with his Durban Auto. That guy was an anti-auto guy that has turned into a loving Biff, loving auto guy. And it makes me smile knowing that I can flip the script like that. Or not that I can, that Biff and we have the power to. If y'all are on the fence about autos, grab a Biff Auto. It's time to say it. They blow people out the park, guys. Any one of them are good. My Zam, I got 7 ounces in 70 days. The judges didn't see the plant. They smoked the bud and they still chose it. If they saw the plant, woo! Brothers, this is good stuff. Everything that's put out, these autos are amazing. And so if you want to try out an auto, go for a Biff Auto.
I'm currently growing out the classic white grape, because why not?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a soldier, that plant.
That's a good one. I never got any of the that old gear, but man, I'm jealous of those that have been running and smoking it, because every time I have some of the quad grapes S1s that Swamp made, and I've been spreading those around, and I've tried some of the Zams, but everything else has just been stuff that I've seen that just. If you're not the Phantom Space Ramen, Katie ran one of those that was just huge and frosty. Anything that Runic Fury touches is like, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, you know, bred with it. Like, it is prime. Like, man, it is nutty.
I've just been autos
make me happy.
As we've just been chatting about autos, I've just been running through to see what I actually have of seeds. There, and I didn't know I had it, because Bucky sent me a few seeds through, and I actually have a little vial of Durban Express F2 Reg Autos here, so Jay, I may have to partake in a bit of this, I think.
Yeah, shout out Jay, that's gonna be something I think you'll like, because Mind's Eye is liking it, and if you can flip him from going anti to pro, and the garden looks good, and that's the other thing about Biff, is if you're in the server, you can not only check out, you know, that guy's garden, but every person's garden that's running and testing it, and make your judgment call from there. And it's never a judgment call that I've made where it's like, oh god, it's always like, I wish I had room for this, I want to run that one too.
Yeah. I usually do that, because I'm usually an auto man, and as I say, out of convenience and space to grow, and wanting a constant kind of gentle supply for myself, so they're just the most convenient plant. But then I always look at Bucky and you know, Zero and Jats grows, and you get these fantastic looking photos that just make me think, right, fuck it, I need another tent.
Yeah, Jat, when I ran his Lemon Carver, I'm so upset. So the Lemon Carver, so I mentioned earlier that event happened, like, what, on the 6th? My Lemon Carver got jarred on the 20th. It was so close to being done. I know in my heart of hearts that if I had some of this Lemon Carver and some of this Monkey Bread, I would have placed again, because Jat... not only showed me the not Jat showed me, but the plants that Jat bred showed me. This Lemon Carver showed me the real potential in photo periods in marijuana. The frostiness, the denseness, it's no joke. This is like a cut above. If stuff that I've been smoking was A tier, this is S tier.
Yeah.
Blows my mind and makes me realize, okay, this is what I should be breeding towards. This is what people should be breeding towards. If it don't look like this, you shouldn't be bringing it out.
Yeah. I was scrolling through there and looking at what was coming out on the New Year's Eve drop. And yeah, I want to grow Galactic Reserve. I'm looking at the pictures there, and that's just got me written all over it. You know?
Yes. Yes, Bellinos releasing his Galactic Reserve, the double grape crossed to Ripley's OG, crossed into Hard Liquor, which is Cabernet Nanvil. That's going to be a reg auto that I even ever since the name and beforehand, I've liked the idea of it. And
yeah,
that's I ain't got to look at the gardens to know that I want it.
it's got everything I want in that one. I think we'll be having that for sure. Always too many seeds, not enough time. That's the problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If there's a way to reverse that, you know, I don't know. We need a little... I think the person that will invent the time machine is a grower.
End it with a stash of seeds. Never get popped. So
the default is going to be 2 weeks forward.
Yeah, always. So, what you got? I think I asked you at the start. So what are you planning for growing for personal smoke next?
So this round I was running the Dosi. Do you want for this round or next round?
Next round.
Okay, even funner. So, next round, depending on what phenos I see, I might be holding on to some of this peanut, but some of this pure Michigan Bucky's breath. Might be holding on to some of this Dosey F2 garlic breath. Hopefully, I'm pheno hunting out a good Dosey F2 garlic breath that will be transitioned into outdoors.
Okay.
On the other half of that, right now I haven't talked much about this, but in the flower tent, I have started flower on a pheno of the lemon carver I liked, and a pheno of the Dosey garlic breath F1. This Dosey garlic breath F1, I forgot to mention that I have been running it. This Dosey garlic breath F1 cut is something that I sifted indoors. It's not my outdoors that's going into the F2, but this indoor plant seems to help with focus, you know, okay. In a way that, like, I guess, long story short, I used to need Adderall for ADHD. And it gives me that benefits without the downfalls of what most people kind of describe as feeling like a zombie with no emotions, no brains, that focus on one topic.
Yeah.
So it seems like a very good alternative for ADHD medication. And down in my heart, one of the other things I want to do with breeding is create something that helps me, you know. Two things I need help with is my damn focus, getting shit done, and also going to sleep. Can't do both. And, you know, if we can blame it on ADHD, or we can blame it on a million things, but
yeah.
The bottom line is I need a good sativa and I need a good indica. And if it's good for me, hopefully it's good for somebody else.
Yeah.
Music is in the way that people, you know, when they create music, they created the music that they liked. I forgot who the hell said it, but they, you know, Biggie probably made the music that he liked and not the music he thought you would like, and other people liked it. It's the same way with anything, any artistry, anything you created, and with the breeding, it's a form of art. You know, you gotta find something you like to combine. So it's if it's something you approve of, it's more likely that somebody else would approve of it rather than you trying to figure out what somebody else's brain's going to like.
I think it's a great metaphor. You know, otherwise you end up with some manufactured pop middle of the road shit.
So next round, hopefully I'll be taking some of those plants and hitting them with some blueberry butcher carver. It's blueberry butcher pollen that I received from one of my buddies at the Erie Genetics server. His name is Billy Podunk. He's also in Biff. He passed me along some of his pollen that he liked. So I wanted to try it out on some of my girls, see if I can get those phenos, but reproduced with some sort of benefits that I like. So basically the blueberry butcher should hopefully bring in more frost, should bring in nicer structure, should bring in bigger buds, bigger colas. Only time will tell, but the real goal is to hopefully be able to get more of those lemon carver and more of that Dosey garlic breath into my life, because I'm not a big fan of holding a clone and a mother forever. I'm a bigger fan of that kind of, I'm just popping a seed and popping a seed and popping a seed.
Yeah.
So my only big fear has been that if this plant helps me so, I need to make sure that the offspring also helps me before I get rid of it.
Yeah.
Which is,
and stability is going to be the key as well.
In itself.
Yeah.
Yep. So I got to test it while holding on to it. So next round will hopefully be a bunch of monkey bread and a bunch of stuff being tested and worked around with for, those offspring and outdoor Dosey garlic breath F2, as well as there might be some stuff I'll pick up from my buddies over at the NW47 group. My buddy Funny Farm has some wonderful hemp I might look at.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out to speak to us, Stoneley, and thanks for the prod to get us back on the horse.
Of course, buddy. Let me just say thank you to everybody who listened to this. thank you to the people of Virginia and the cannabis community for expanding their minds. If you want to hear more of me, you can, of course, like I said, check out the other podcast I had with NW47 on their SoundCloud, as well as it, I believe it's also been posted in many other places. I was also on a follow-up episode with Tara Lee on YouTube, Tara Lee Live. And if there's anybody who wants to find me on Instagram, it's at doghairog. If you want to try some of my monkey bread, it's on the website. You can get 10% off with the code SNOWMONKEY. And if you are a military vet, you can find me and contact me, and I will give you a we have discount codes for that as well. As well as we have just a general discount codes throughout BIF. So thank you for your service. If you are a veteran of our country, I appreciate what you put on your line. It's the least that we can do.
Nice values, buddy. Okay, mate, take care. Well, that was pretty awesome to wrap up a long overdue episode. For the people that have made it to the end of the cast, here's a special offer. If you jump over at Brothers in Farms on Reddit, post a pic of what you're growing and put BIF podcast in the text, we'll grab a winner and shoot over a 20% voucher code for the store and a stash of free slaps. Hope you've enjoyed tonight and see you shortly for another episode. Remember to drop over to biffbeans.com.